Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, Keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write on them all the words of this law, when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord the God of your fathers has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, concerning which I command you today, on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. And you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, Keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. That day Moses charged the people, saying, When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's nakedness. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 27 begins the third speech of the book of Deuteronomy. Within it, Moses instructs Israel to perform a ceremony after they enter into the land. And this corresponds with the end of the great sermon upon the first commandment that begins the central section of Deuteronomy, consequently framing the intervening chapters 12 to 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 26 to 32 reads, See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today, to go after other gods that you have not known. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it, you shall set the blessing on Mount Gerizim, and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not beyond the Jordan, west of the road, toward the going down of the sun, in the land of the Canaanites, who dwell in the Arabah, opposite Gilgal, beside the oak of Moreh? For you are to cross over the Jordan to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and when you possess it and live in it, you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the rules that I am setting before you today. Mount Ebal and Gerizim were in the region of Shechem. Ebal is associated with the curse, Gerizim with the blessing. And Moses is here joined by the elders for the first part of his instruction concerning the establishment of the stones with the law upon it and the altar. The elders lead and they represent the congregation, and so it's fitting that they are involved at this point. There may also be a theme of succession, because the elders will take the place of Moses when he leaves. The stones covered with plaster, on which the words of the law are written, are a testimony to Israel on Mount Ebal, the mountain associated with the curse. Why are these things placed on the mountain associated with the curse, rather than on Gerizim, the mountain associated with the blessing? Partly because as witnesses they would be summoned against Israel in the case of Israel's unfaithfulness, and oath-taking occurs with reference to curses. They're supposed to build an altar of uncut stones, as we've seen described earlier in Exodus chapter 20, verse 25. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones, for if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. The erection of the altar and the sacrifice of burnt offerings and peace offerings is reminiscent of Exodus chapter 24, verses 3-8, and the establishment of the covenant at Sinai. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel, who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." In the second part of the ceremony in Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses is accompanied by the Levitical priests, who represent the Lord. Just as there is a transition from Moses to the elders, there's also a transition from Moses to the Levites. They will take the place of teaching the people the law. While the elders represent the Israelite people, the Levites represent the Lord to the Israelites. That day was one in which Israel formally ratified the covenant, becoming the people of the Lord, and they are charged to perform a covenant ceremony when they arrive in the land. The Levites are the ones who will read the curses of the law, to which the congregation must respond, "Amen." The tribes are instructed to divide into two groups. The tribes on Gerizim are Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. The tribes on Ebal are Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The rationale for this division is not entirely clear. It is possibly ordered geographically, with the northern mountain of Ebal associated with the northern and Transjordanian tribes, Dan perhaps being included among them as it moved north at a later point. Gerizim is associated with the southern tribes and with Levi. The tribes are also roughly divided according to the mothers, listed in birth order. Rachel's two sons and the elder sons of Leah, minus the judged Reuben, are in the Gerizim group. The other group contains the handmaid's sons, with Reuben and Zebulun. This ceremony was actually performed in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30-35. At that time, Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, on Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the people of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, upon which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there, in the presence of the people of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. And all Israel, sojourner as well as native-born, with their elders and officers and their judges, stood on opposite sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord, half of them in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded at the first, to bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel, and the women, and the little ones, and the sojourners who lived among them. The verses that follow this are a sort of oath-taking on Israel's part. The blessings are not attended by the amens, but the curses are. Israel is accepting the sanctions of judgment upon themselves should they sin and break the covenant. There are 12 curses stated, and these correspond with the number of the tribes. The 12 statements particularly focus upon actions that could be done in secret, or which wouldn't be brought before any human court. Where human punishments wouldn't occur, Israel called down divine curses upon the covenant breaker. And the curses involve idolatry, the first one, dishonouring God, dishonouring father or mother, the second one, mistreating neighbours, in the third, the fourth and the fifth, the neighbour's landmark being moved, the blind man being misguided, and the prevention of justice for the vulnerable. Sexual offences follow in curses 6 to 9. Lying with your father's wife, with an animal, with your sister, or with your mother-in-law. Next, we have two curses concerning murder, secret murder, and also taking a bribe to kill an innocent person. And then finally, curse number 12, the failure to confirm the word of the law that has been given. Here as elsewhere, Israel is summoned to hear the voice of the Lord, not just blindly to obey. Jonathan Sacks observes the way that the law operates on two different levels. On the one hand, it speaks to people at a childlike level of understanding, where the aversion to negative consequences, the aversion to the curse on disobedience, is prominent. If you do this particular sin, this bad thing will happen to you. However, the law also speaks at a higher level, communicating the truth that its laws are not arbitrary. The Torah is remarkable in being law that gives a rationale for itself and which seeks to persuade. Reasons are given for the commands. Narrative and law are mutually illuminating. The law is grounded in the order of nature as an expression of natural law, and the law itself is shown to have an inner structure that will yield insight to the one who meditates upon it. The law, then, is not just bare divine command, a word from the heavens for people thoughtlessly to obey. No, to those who meditate upon it, it is the unlocking of the world of wisdom. A question to consider. What might the curses reveal about the dependence of the system of the law upon the Lord and his action?